All right, listen, listen, listen. Did you bring your guns?
I can't tell you that.
Are you carrying right now?
I can't tell you that.
Is that how it works?
I never disclose if I am carrying. Never.
They're so nervous. These guys are literally about to poop their pants over the fact that Caitlin Bennett might have a gun. Well, what do you expect? She's the Kent State gun girl. And besides, what's so scary about a woman with a gun? Caitlin Bennett was invited to go on Logan Paul's podcast show, Impulsive. From what I can tell, it looked like Logan Paul and his crew thought that they were going to invite Caitlin on and destroy her in some gun control debate. Well, it didn't quite go according to their plan. Logan Paul and his crew approached this debate as typical liberals do, lacking facts, statistics, and actual knowledge about guns. Instead, they resorted to emotional ploys and guilt trips to try to get Caitlin to compromise on her position.
Why do you need a magazine that holds more than 5 rounds?
So what if 10 people are coming in your house to rob you? So you are not going to, especially with a 380, like my handgun holds a 380. It's small, it's tiny. I'm going to probably need more than 5 rounds to take someone down with it.
Do you currently own an AR-10 or a long barrel semi-automatic weapon?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you feel the need to own that level of firepower?
Because I want to.
Oh, these guys are seriously shitting themselves right now.
And I see someone walking with a rifle around campus.
That's scary.
That's scary.
No, that's safe. What I see is an armed society is a safe society. What I see is that almost 3 million lives are saved every year due to defensive use of firearms. That's what I see. I see that 98% of mass shootings are in gun-free zones. So if we want to talk about ending a gun violence problem, we need to go to where it's happening. It's happening in gun-free zones.
Caitlin's facts don't care about Mike and Spencer's feelings.
Okay, you get rid of gun-free zones, and then what happens? Inevitably, people buy and arm themselves with guns, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
If they choose
Everyone has a gun?
No, I don't think everyone should have a gun. That's where it comes back to. I support background checks from private businesses. I support that. Right now, you can go and buy a gun. There's a black market for firearms, gang violence. You know, the number one perpetrator of gun violence is gangs. 80% of gun homicides are drug-related and gang-related.
Just hand over your gun rights because of, insert, emotional appeal. And disregard facts, statistics, and actual knowledge.
We have more than 20,000 gun laws on the book.
Calling something that's ineffective in its execution useless is
well, wouldn't that
futile.
Be the definition of useless? If we can't execute something,
it's not that we can't. We just haven't done a good enough job of
so
it.
So what do we do? I think giving the government the power to regulate our Second Amendment right and our firearms is going down an extremely slippery slope.
Many have commented that Logan Paul's just sitting there quietly throughout most of this interview, kind of looking perplexed.
I want to hear from Logan, to be honest. I haven't heard from Logan the whole time, but
I hate to try to like put statistics to something that like a shooting is a shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Like how, like one mass shooting is too many.
No, absolutely. But we don't live in a perfect world. And even feet and hands kill more people than rifles.
Hammers kill more people than rifles.
Mm-hmm.
Looking it up.
Let's
see.
Blunt objects.
So
if we look at statistics, we have found that gun owners actually stop mass shootings. We find that 500,000 to 3 million lives are saved every year due to defensive use of firearms.
Did Logan Paul just get red-pilled by Caitlin Bennett? We're not as safe and secure as many people believe we are. We have a false sense of safety and security in this country.
TSA seems pretty necessary.
They have a 95% fail rate. They don't do their job 95% of the time. They're always stealing stuff.
Where's that data from?
Fact check.
Just fact check. The Department of Homeland Security did indeed do a private screening to find out that 95%.
Welcome to the War Room, everyone. If you were just watching that first segment, that was InfoWars reporter Caitlin Bennett taking Logan Paul's crew to task. Here's the interesting thing. You know, Logan Paul, YouTube sensation, 2 million subscribers, but he needs like two wingmen, literally, to take on the young and fiery Caitlin Bennett. Kudos to her. She did a great job. Also did an excellent plug with Turbo Force. We have a lot of news, a lot of clips to get to. I'll just go over for the next, I guess, minute or so. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for tuning in. I want to go over some stuff that I'm going to get to. We're going to talk about the Cohen testimony. Giuliani accused him, said he's provable perjury at least 3 or 4 times. We've got Kellyanne Conway admitting he's lying. Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows has Justice Department to probe for perjury. I'm going to get to those articles. You know, if you thought the Virginia governor, Northam, in addition to wanting to kill babies, he also, you know, back in his yearbook, he's either in the blackface or in the KKK outfit. Well, now his wife is being criticized for handing cotton to black students on a mansion tour. So just more elite racism from the elitists who, hey, they're not going to step down. They don't care what they say. But I saw this today. Actress Jennifer Lawrence lays out plan to save America. And she's joined with a group called Us, About Us, or something like that, Us. And it's a group that they say is getting the left and right together, and they're going to root out corruption. And so I'm watching her video. It's about a 12-minute video. I think I'll play it in the second half of this hour. And we'll analyze it. I'll stop and start it as we go. So it'll probably take 2 segments to get through. But I just thought it was amazing the things she's calling for. There's some things I agree in it, but then there's some places where it really falls flat and doesn't address the real issues with our elections. Because I think we are running on, Owen talked about this today, I think we're running on, our elections can't be trusted. They're on these voting machines that can be hacked. We've proven it over and over again, and we don't know who's voting. We just don't. We're not allowed to know. And if you ask, if you're a citizen, you're suddenly a racist. Here's an interesting article that I'm going to tie into something I did yesterday, actually. I took Turbo Force here. I was doing part of the show with Owen, and I took a Turbo Force in the second hour, and then I went out for a bike ride, and I'll tie this into it. Cycling, happiest mode of transportation. And I'll get into that a little bit later. There's that article. But what was the big story yesterday bleeding over to today? And guys, pull up YouTube and let's see what the view count is now, because it is steadily climbing. I believe it's over 3 million, probably close to 3.5 million now. But the Joe Rogan, Alex Jones podcast, Alex Jones Returns, became the number one trend on social media, beat out the Cohen testimony, beat out Trump going to North Korea. What are we at? 3.2 million views. It was lighting up everything yesterday. As it should, because this is a man that's been censored off social media, and it's like you're in the desert, you're in the media desert, trying to find your way through, and you come upon an oasis, and that oasis was Alex Jones getting to talk to, I think it got as high as almost 200,000 people live watching at any one time. That's where I think it peaked at, but over 4 hours, nearly 5 hours, 4 hours and 40 minutes. We also had the jiu-jitsu flat earther join him. Eddie Bravo joined a couple hours into it. But it was. I didn't watch the whole thing because I was working, was doing some of this, but I did catch a good hour and a half of it. And it was, I think it was even better than the last one because Alex was focused. He knew what he was going in there for. He knew what the stakes were. He knew this was his chance to break through the electronic Berlin Wall that he has been shoved behind by these leftist tyrants. And here we have more proof, and I'm going to play this video from James O'Keefe later, but Facebook eliminated over 1 billion page views to conservative websites in 2018. 1 billion. And thanks to James O'Keefe, we now have proof of this plan. In fact, Do we have that O'Keefe clip ready? Can y'all pull? Let's go to that James O'Keefe clip now. I think we have enough time. because that's like a 2-minute clip. Let's go to that now, because this is really what's going to dominate everything. Donald Trump Jr. was talking about this. I'm sure Trump will tweet about it. You know, hey, we got to do something about this censorship. No, you got to put a commission together to make findings. Put James O'Keefe on the head of it. Let's get some information out there that people can use, not just a freaking tweet, Trump. All right, let's go to this. This is part of James O'Keefe's investigation. Had a whistleblower from Facebook come out. I think you probably won't be surprised if you watch this show, but if you have never watched this show before, you might be surprised at what is about to unfold.
Danny Ben David, I'm James O'Keefe with Project Veritas. This is code that you wrote for Facebook, sir. This is code that you wrote for Facebook, and it has the words action debunked live distribution. Why does it show up on all of these conservative people's pages?
James O'Keefe.
That's my name. Yes.
I've got a jacket and everything.
I've got a jacket. Is this your name right there? Danny Ben David. iAction D-Boost Live Distribution. Any other comment?
You're James O'Keefe?
I'm James O'Keefe, yes. Okay. But the bottom line is his name does appear in this document and on some of the other pages of some of these political individuals, but we just couldn't get an answer out of him.
Lots of needles.
And, now we're going to try to talk to Mr. Seiji Yamamoto.
Hey, Seiji Yamamoto. My name is James O'Keefe. I'm with Project Veritas. I'd like to ask you a question about something you put together at Facebook about these so-called troll reports. Now, our insider says that you actually took action on this and you had a troll score listed on the fake account index at Facebook on the content review tool. You actually created this report, did you not?
I don't actually have any comment on any of this. How do you know where I live and where I commute from?
What I'd like to know is, did you in fact create this report, tactic to notify
look for a lifeline, buddy.
But the most egregious...
Are you stalking me?
What's that?
What's been stalking me? How do you know where I
commute from? Are you stalking me? No, we're asking you questions, loser.
Was there a troll score instituted under the fake account index on the CRT at Facebook?
I don't have any comment on anything that you're talking about. I'm a little worried for my safety, given the way that you're stalking me.
This is investigative...
If you left.
This is a public area, sir, and this is a very important story, okay? I'd like to know why you authored this report.
Oh, he's taking the happiest form of transportation.
Sir.
And running away.
Okay. Well, and he vanished. But we did, in fact, talk to Seiji Yamamoto, who authored this troll report. And
the pussification of the American male, right out in front. Look at those squeamy little worms.
Who are you? You have a jacket?
Oh, I'm not going to answer the fact that I have helped delete over 1 billion page views. I don't have to answer that. I work for Facebook. These dandies are going to get what's coming to them in the end. Because I think this is what they're doing. And doing it behind closed doors will prove to be criminal behavior in the end. So we got part of this article here. Facebook has been shutting down traffic since 2016, of course. They're mad. Didn't go their way. So there's been a variety of investigations. But they're looking at a loss in 1 year, 1.5 billion page views. Top conservatives. And they show this map that shows how big CNN, Huffington Post, and New York Times, and Washington Post, how big they are. Let me bring this over here. Oh, yeah, good. You guys had the map. You can see how much fake views and pushing they get, and these other conservative sites. And then you go to the next graphic. Y'all can pull that one up, and it shows the ones that they firebombed, all the big ones, got rid of them. That's America. That's your tolerant left right there. All right, we'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
tyrannical left that has lost the last presidential election has decided the only way that they can win again is to censor anybody, I guess, to the right of Stalin. And so I have a couple articles here. This one, Facebook eliminated over 1 billion page views. It's actually 1.5 billion. There's the story of Jared Valeroni from Clicked Media. He said he had over 60 conservative websites and 400 million page views from Facebook in the last months. If you compare, that's how much he's lost 4 million page views over year to year. 70-80% from January to May 2017, January to May 2018. And we showed you the map that showed you the big conservative sites on Facebook, which weren't nearly as big as the promoted and pushed leftist media. Boom, those all went poof in 2017. Now we have this from Zero Hedge. Facebook whistleblower reveals routine suppression of conservative content. A former Facebook employee turned whistleblower has revealed that the social media giant engages in routine suppression of conservative pages through various methods, confirming internal documents and presentation materials Project Veritas obtained from a Facebook insider. The employee who left in 2018 and who was later hired by Project Veritas had screenshots from a Facebook workstation that showed specific technical actions taken against political figures as well as existing strategies taken to combat political speech. Political speech they don't like. And it's called deboosting. And they would label things action deboost live distribution. They'd see this whistleblower would see the term appear on several different conservative pages. I first noticed it with an account, but you also saw it on Mike Cernovich's page, Stephen Crowder's, and Daily Caller's page. Because this is it. The left can't win with ideas. They can only win with these artificial constructs and these algorithms that they've programmed to steer the conversation their way. And the deboost tag was something that they created to combat people doing self-harm videos or talking about suicide, which makes sense. We don't want our kids committing suicide. Self-harm in millennials is on the rise, because they're subjected to this insane, it's sort of like puppetry, what they're doing, this electronic digital puppetry that they're doing, where they're only letting certain ideas come out. So a deboost tag appears after the word Sigma, which Project Veritas has learned is an artificial intelligence system used to block potential suicide and self-harm posts. Both Cernovich and Steven Crowder cannot recall ever having produced any videos that promote suicide or self-harm. Nobody does that on the right. That is a leftist thing about cutting yourself and being goth and all that other inane behavior. So it goes on and on. Here's a video. Here's a clip of, I guess it's a 19-minute video of James O'Keefe with the Facebook whistleblower. And this is how, this is, you know what though? This information comes out, what's going to happen? Oh, Trump Jr. is going to go and talk about it. Donald may tweet about it. But is anything really going to happen? Are we going to get a presidential commission? He has the power to do this. He has the power to do this with vaccines. He could just appoint these commissions. They're not going to have any lawmaking ability, but they can present data that then we can use to pressure lawmakers. So here's that video.
I saw things going on that I personally found to be troubling. I knew that something had to be done about it. And so I felt that the best thing to do was to inform the public because they had a right to know.
This is Danny Ben-David, a software engineer. On his website, Ben-David writes, "I am now working at Facebook as a software engineer. I'm part of the problem, I know. In the leaked documents our insider gave us,
well, at least he admits
we came across a back-end view of Mike Cernovich's page. On it, we could see Ben-David running an action called Action Deboost Live Distribution. In fact, Ben David wrote the code and may have invented the word deboost."
Who is Danny Ben David?
From my understanding, Danny Ben David is a software engineer at Facebook. He did not work at the same location as me, but I noticed that every time I would see this D-Boost live stream kind of code on there, that his name was always next to it.
Mm-hmm. And what does it mean that when these documents say action D-Boost live distribution? What does the term D-Boost mean?
What does the term D-Boost mean? It means we're not going to let you talk. It means shut up. It means if you're not for Hillary Clinton, get in the back of the bus. That's what it means. And so now we have the 2020 election coming up. We've got the Democratic candidates all jumping into the arena, getting ready to slit themselves apart in a gladiatorial battle. It's going to give these news people something to talk about and increase their ratings and give them more ad money, because that's what it's all about. And we have us. Us has appeared onto the playing field. Oh, they've been around for a few years. Anti-corruption is what we do. The American Anti-Corruption Act sets a standard for local, state, and federal laws that fix our broken elections, stop political bribery, and end secret money. Let voters rank their top candidates in gerrymandering. Let all voters participate in open primaries. Change how elections are funded. Make it illegal for politicians to take money from lobbyists. Ban lobbyist bundling. Close the revolving door. Prevent politicians from fundraising during work hours. Immediately disclose political money online. Stop donors from hiding behind secret money groups. A lot of this sounds good. A lot of this sounds good. And then you look at who's on, like, the cultural board of this organization, and it's like, who's who of hating Trump? Orlando Bloom, Jack Black. I mean, these are people I know that have already come out and said, and it's Michael Douglas. You could just look at these people. Jeremy Piven. So this is the Cultural Council. I did see that they had one person on their board who was a Tea Party, National Tea Party organizer. But what this is they're trying to say, oh, we're bringing the left and the right together. So they're trying to seem bipartisan when it's stacked to the gills with leftists. And I don't think they have it. They're looking at the things. They're like, what made us lose our... Yeah. Probably most of these people are in this group. But when we come back, I'm going to get into this and break it down a little more. We're going to play this video from Jennifer Lawrence and an X-Men director, not Bryan Singer, but another one. Joel Silver, I think is his name. And we're going to show you where they're going to try to lead you. It's Pied Piperism. They're going to lead you off the dock, into the cliff, into the pit. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room, Infowars.com/show.
Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
So I want to get into this US and their anti-corruption, because what I think they've done is identify factors that liberals really don't like. And there's some things in here that I agree with, honestly. I mean, it's not all bad. But when you look at who's on the boards of these things, when you look at how it's stacked, 90% liberal, 10% GOP, mainline GOP people. This Catherine Baer is interesting. Tea Party Network Chair. Be interesting to talk to her. And John Pudner, Executive Director of Take Back Our Republic. And you've got a GOP strategist who I'm imagining is probably a mainline GOP guy who basically doesn't have a backbone. But let's see. We have former ethics advisor to President George W. Bush, Dick Painter. Trump hater. David O. Russell, writer, director, producer. Oh, co-founder of BuzzFeed, John Johnson. So they got Jennifer Lawrence to be in this video. So we're going to play this video. We're going to start and stop it. But before we do that, I just want to tell you about this little study, which is interesting. Cyclists being the happiest mode of transportation. I don't like to ride my bike on the street because I think it's very dangerous. I do see people riding their bikes on the streets, and I feel bad for them because one day they're going to get hit by somebody looking at their cell phone, and they're going to drive right into these people. But here's what I thought was interesting. This guy in Minnesota looked at the different forms of transportation. Cycling was the happiest mode of transport. Between driving a car and riding a car, respondents said driving is more painful. Public transit is the least happy and the least meaningful form of transportation. And so where do liberals want to shift you? They want you public transportation. They want you waiting for the bus. They don't want you to be able to get up and go anytime you want. They don't want you to be able to cut through a parking lot. They want you waiting for the bus, waiting for the train, getting packed in like cattle, and being told when and where you can get off. And why do I bring that up? Well, I like to bike. I want to show you a couple images, and this has to do with Turbo Force. Here, if you can come to this shot, please. This is there's a trail on the east side. It's about 10 miles to the end, and then you turn around and come back. So you're on the same path, up and down. I did a little bit extra because I was riding around waiting for a Don to pump up his bike tires. And so I went 21.8 miles riding in circles around waiting for him. But here's my average speed, 13.7 miles an hour. Now, my max speed was 25.6. Now watch this. This is the 25th, so this is Monday. This was yesterday's. Same track. You can see it's the same east side. I went a little less because I wasn't riding around in circles, but my average speed is 15 miles an hour. Maximum speed, 26.6. And I took a pouch of Turbo Force while I was here doing my second hour of the war room. And I said, because I did this once before and it upped my average to over 14. Now I'm over 15 miles per hour. That's my average speed. And I tell you, Turbo Force does have, it gives you that extra kick. I don't know how to explain it, because on this track, there's a mile and a half hill incline going forward. So right now, Turbo Force is 33% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And I'm sitting there riding it. And on Monday, I remember I got real tired, ended up clicking down to my lowest gear and pedaling really fast to get up this hill. I was still in my third gear on Turbo Force yesterday and just creaming up that hill. In fact, on the Monday, I made it to the end in 50 minutes. And yesterday, I did it in 43. Now, granted, I was riding around a circle waiting for a Don on the first day. But you got to believe me. I've done it twice now. I've done two different tests on myself using Turbo Force, running the same tracks in two different parts of Austin. Both times taking Turbo Force, I've increased my speed, my time. I wasn't as tired. When I got to the end, I felt really good, actually. I felt like I get to a runner's high type feel. So check it out. It's Turbo Force. It really works. I mean, I think it's going to be a game changer. It's a powder. You mix it with whatever you want, either water or juice. I mix it with water. It's fine. Just with water. So check it out, InfoWarsStore.com, and it funds everything we do here. When you go buy Turbo Force, it keeps the lights on here. It keeps us hiring more reporters, hiring more crew, doing more shows. And there's a reason people want this information. I mean, just look at the Joe Rogan podcast from yesterday. 3 million views. All right, so let's go to this Jennifer Lawrence video. We'll start playing it. I'll stop it. Because I want to show you how the Pied Piperism works, because they're only showing you just part of the story. And that's the leftist credo. It's like, we don't want you to have all the information. We want to help you make all your decisions for you. So here it is.
We're at work.
We are witnessing a total political system failure in America. If you're anything like me, you may find yourself
constantly overwhelmed by everything that's wrong with politics. And when I say politics, I'm not talking about Democrats or Republicans. I'm talking about the flaws that exist in our political system, regardless of which party is in power. And I know it's hard to talk about politics these days, but look, the government is ours. We pay for it, so it needs to work for us. And right now it doesn't. And I mean, it really doesn't. So what's going on here? Is it Russian meddling in social media? Is it him? Is it her? No. Those two were the least popular presidential candidates since they began keeping track of such things. Only 4% of Americans have a great deal of confidence in Congress now. Just 4%. America is no longer even considered a full democracy. We are witnessing a total political system failure in America, which is the complete opposite of what our nation's founders had in mind. So I'm going to show you three lines that show what's causing this failure, how we can fix it, and what you can do about it. So here's your first line. What I want you to do is take any issue you really care about and picture it on this line.
Illegal immigration.
This line comes from a Princeton University study that shows how public opinion influences the laws that Congress does or doesn't pass. They looked at 1,800 public opinion polls over a 20-year period, and we took their data and plotted it in this chart. See this horizontal line? That shows public support for a law amongst average Americans. This vertical line? That shows the likelihood of the public support leading to the passage of a law. When you plot it for the average American,
right,
you get
pause
a line
for a second.
That looks like this.
When they say average American, that really hurts because you think of how dumb the average American is. And George Carlin said this. And then you think, half the population is dumber than that person. I feel bad for the average American. They're not eating their Wheaties in the morning, mental Wheaties. Here we go. Let's keep going.
That line. If there is zero support for a law, there's about a 30% chance that Congress is going to pass it. And if there is 100% support for something, the most popular thing ever, there's still a 30% chance that Congress is going to pass it. So the line is horizontal because no matter how much support there is among average Americans, there's still a 30% chance that Congress is going to pass that law. Princeton determined that the preferences of the average American appear to have only a minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact
on
public policy.
And now why is that?
How in the hell does that happen? Consider this. Politicians are spending up to 70% of their time raising funds for re-election after they get into office. Why?
Yeah, here, pause
because
it right
in
here.
In order to win a...
I'm going to go through a little more of this over the next on the next segment. But basically, right here, she's breaking down some interesting information. This is to get you in. This is to open the door and say, we're bipartisan. Come listen to us. We're here to help. When in reality, they want to take your...
It's really hard to...
Infowars.com/show.
All right, welcome back. We're going over this US video. Represent.us, represent.us is the group. Which, hey, maybe this is a group that people on the right could come in and take over and actually get some issues done because they look like they are doing some interesting grassroots stuff. But when I see this much Hollywood invested in something, to me that means limousine liberals. Do as we say, not as we do. Don't eat hamburgers. We will eat the hamburgers. That's what this tells me. You will eat out of the trash can like a good socialist. So, the part I'm going to skip, you can go watch the whole thing. Jennifer Lawrence talks about how if you were going to run for Senate, you got to raise like $49,000 a year or $49,000 a day every day for 6 years to have the money to run for office. And I agree. There's way too much money in politics. There's way too much dirty money, especially when it comes to lobbying groups. Real people aren't given access to the candidates. They're not even really thought of as anything other than voters that you have to harvest. So let's pick it up back when she's talking about the breakdown of voters, because this is interesting. And later, she shows a pie graph that shows there's really only 25% of liberals in this country. Everybody else is either a moderate or and are conservative. So I thought that was very interesting. This is why they have to work with conservatives. They bite their tongue and do it. But here we go. Let her explain it all.
Are leaving the major parties in droves. As you can see here, nearly half of American voters are now registered independent. And then there's gerrymandering, with politicians drawing the boundaries of their own voting districts into crazy shapes designed to prevent competition. Today, only 14% of House campaigns are actually competitive. 86% of them are not. And we wonder why young people feel that their vote doesn't matter.
Oh, young people.
I've covered a lot here, but it all adds up to this vast ring of influence over our elected leaders. It's a corrupt system in which we, the people, have near zero influence over our own government. And that is sad. That is not the country I feel like I grew up in. But what's worse is that by allowing this to happen, we are causing the failure of the most important issues facing our nation. We're wasting trillions of dollars a year on fraud and abuse in our own government. Oh. 1 in 5 American children live in poverty. Our health care is the most expensive in the world. We have more people in prison per capita than Russia and China. We're losing jobs to the rest of the world.
Pause, and we're not pause. These are all Democrat ideas. We're going to give you Obamacare. It's going to be free. Air pollution is still killing people in the United States. Our air is cleaner. You go to any other country in the world, except for maybe some in Scandinavia, where they don't have quite the industry we do. And they also have high power prices, too. But you look at Africa and East Asia. These people pollute. Central Asia, they pollute. China, they pollute. We get blamed for it. Back it up just a little bit. There's something on the screen that I wanted to point out. Bring the screen back up, please. It was one of the, no, it was one of those things. Right after they waste $1 trillion a year, what was next? After world poverty. Oh, no, yeah, the health care. That was after that was prison reform. Prison reform is something that Van Jones is getting flack for right now for saying, hey, he agrees with Donald Trump's prison reform bill. This was a liberal idea. Lock everybody up for penny-ante crimes. And it started with the war on drugs in the 70s. But this is where it is now. And what 30% of the criminals are not even from this country. They're illegal. They're not even supposed to be here. We should not be housing these people. There it is on the Hill. Van Jones praises Trump-backed criminal justice reform. A Christmas miracle is what he called it. And I'm sure that pissed off a lot of people. We actually ran into Van Jones at the Republican National Convention last year. Owen Schroeder did like a 45-minute debate with him in the street. Really good. In fact, Van got so shook up, he forgot his bag that had his iPad and a bunch of other stuff in it. And I actually had to talk to some sheriffs because he was thinking we took it. I'm like, well, dude, we're not going to take your stuff. All right. And had we found it, we would have returned it to him. Okay, fast forward just a little bit and we'll pick it up. Where J is there? Is her initial J Lo? That's not J Lo. That's somebody else. Play it.
Not even doing enough to keep our air and our water clean for our children. America was founded on the promise of self-governance, but instead we have statistically non-significant impact on public policy. So the question is, how do we unrig this system? I'm obsessed with this idea, not just of unrigging it, but actually fixing it. That's when I met Josh.
This is it. This is the issue behind the issues. If we fix the system,
Hollywood's going to save us.
We'll have so much more power to fix everything else.
This is awesome.
So I spoke to some of the most brilliant people in the country.
Josh Silver, the director.
Constitutional scholar Lawrence Lessig, Zephyr Teachout, and dozens of other constitutional scholars,
Dick Painter,
and strategists. They all said the same thing. You could pass a law that would stop political bribery and fix our broken elections. And if you could do that, you could wrest power away from the corrupt establishment and put it back in the hands of the people.
Oh, do you think these people really want to put power in the hands of the people?
And gerrymandering with independent redistricting commissions.
Create ranked choice voting so third parties and independents can run and win.
Implement automatic voter registration.
That's a very interesting idea.
Vote from home.
And
vote from home. Stop. That's what caught my eye. Vote from home. Now, we have problems now where we don't even know who's voting anymore. We have no idea who votes in this country. We're not allowed to ask people if they're a citizen. Automatic voter registration. Well, they're giving illegals IDs in California and driver's licenses, and they're going to automatically register them to vote? Not one word about voter machines or voter ID, because they want everybody voting, and they want everybody voting from home. So now you don't have to verify yourself, or they'll have some special software that'll verify you, made by somebody over at Facebook. It's going to take care of you. But this is where the rubber meets the road, right here. This is where it's all hidden. We're going to let you vote from home, which, hey, I wouldn't necessarily be against if we could have people, when they register to vote, they have to prove they're an American citizen. That's it. You know, when you go vote in Venezuela or in Iraq, they make you dip your thumb in ink and it shows you voted. And they vote on paper ballots. I'm for that. I don't care if it takes a few extra hours and a few extra old people volunteers to count these votes. I'm totally for it. All right, let's keep it rolling.
Bribery. Overhaul lobbying and ethics laws and close the revolving door so politicians can't be bribed with high-paying job offers.
Mandate full transparency of political spending so we know who's trying to buy influence.
Give every voter a $50 or $100 tax voucher so politicians spend time fundraising from their constituents, not just the government that 0.05%.
So your government's literally funding voting.
If you could pass even just some of these reforms, you would undo that ring of influence and begin to reinstate we the people as the most important influence over our elected leaders. So we took all of these reforms and put them in a model law and named it the Anti-Corruption Act. And get this, 87% of Americans support making the Anti-Corruption Act the law of the land. Look at the breakdown, 91% of Democrats and 83% of Republicans. It's incredible. Now you might be thinking, 9 out of 10 Americans, surely Congress will pass it. But on this issue, more than any other issue, it's like asking the fox to put a lock on the hen house. Politicians won in the current system, and they have an incentive not to fix it. So we need to go around Congress, in this case, by passing anti-corruption acts in cities and states all across
America. You know, and actually, this isn't a bad idea. I think Alex Jones worked on this a long time ago, talking about the Patriot Act and going to local state and city governments and passing resolutions against the Patriot Act because it was unconstitutional what they were doing. And this kind of stuff does work. When you get enough local laws on something, well, eventually the state will pass it. And then from the states, once you get enough states to pass something, yes, they will do that. And this, there's a lot of great ideas on here, but they're not interested in who's voting. You notice that? They don't care who votes. They want as many voters as possible. Not one word about voter ID, open borders, or anything else. That is, that's Alex Jones speaking out on the Patriot Act. Wow, you can still find Alex Jones on YouTube. Going in front of city council. That's a long time ago. All right, we got about 30 seconds left. We come back next hour. Craig Sawyer is going to be on. He just got banned from Facebook for showing illegals crossing the border. Wow. Who would have thought? Everybody's getting banned from Facebook for showing the minorest of things. Can't do anything anymore unless it's lick the boots of socialist dictators. We'll be right back after this. You're watching The War Room at Infowars.com/show. Send that stream out to everybody you know.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the second hour of The War Room. Now, in addition to providing news reports over in my area of the office, Darren McBreen and I work on these kind of special videos. He does most of the heavy lifting on these. I kind of just throw out ideas. But it's these kind of taking different pop culture things and putting them together. We used to make fake, not fake movie trailers, but make movie trailers or take different movie trailers and mash them up with things that were going on in current events and try to show you how they related because people like that pop culture experience. Well, Paul Harvey is a guy that I used to listen to as a kid. It turns out today is the 10-year anniversary of his death. He died February 28th, 2009. So we're in the 10-year anniversary of his death. And Darren's been working on this thing for a week. It's a piece he did called If I Were the Devil. And so we're going to play this now. This is pretty powerful. So we're going to play this now, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Paul Harvey.
If I were the devil.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. The. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States.
President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve.
Do
as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me. Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flame.
The president of the United States is racist.
If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. I would caution against extremes.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
In hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Pretty powerful stuff. Pretty powerful stuff. And that was written in 1965. And you look at how far we've come today and where we are as a country and as a people. Really makes you want to think. All right, we got Craig Sawyer on the other side. Once again, you show the illegals coming across the border, you're a racist who needs to be censored. So we're going to talk about that and a whole host of other issues. Just on the other side of this break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the War Room. It is our second hour. And we are joined by Craig Sawyer, former Navy SEAL. TacticalInsider.com is his website. And he's going to talk to us about more censorship. Facebook, we were talking about that earlier in the show. Facebook don't like the truth. You put out the truth, they don't like you. He also has vetsforchildrescue.org, and that's V-E-T-S, the number 4, childrescue.org. So we're getting to a whole host of issues. First, Craig, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. So tell us what happened. You posted some photos or video of illegals crossing the border, and then you got suspended from Facebook. What happened?
Yeah, I went down to the border to show the American public the realities of what some of the border itself looks like in the real world. Some of it's just a weak little barbed wire fence. Some of it's Normandy barriers, and in some places there's next to nothing at all. And so I was just went down there with a cell phone and just shot some video. And I posted a few photos that my in-laws had captured with their game cameras on their own ranch land of different things. That now that photo right there is of a cleanup. So some of the churches got together with their kids and they went and cleaned up a lot of the illegal immigrants' trash there. And that's a fence that went up in the last 12 months right there that you're showing. It looks like it's more of a cattle fence, but certainly not adequate to keep people out. And those are drug runners right there. And so I posted up some of this just to let the American public know, hey, look, here's what it really is like down here for those of us that live near the border. And what the message of it really does look like, we need a wall to help bolster Border Patrol and make their efforts more effective. They all say that they need it, and I can see why. So that's what I posted up, and the next thing I know, I wasn't able to get into my Facebook page and post anything, and there was no explanation. Facebook just said, oh, you've broken our protocols, and so you can't use your account. And it was just before I signed on for to be with you here today that the Facebook page was actually freed up. So I don't know if they're watching and tracking what's going on, but it's interesting that they just turn people's voice off that they don't like to hear. Now, I could understand if it was some sort of hate speech or terrorist promotion, but when we patriotic Americans are just showing each other what's really happening, that's not something that needs to be suppressed. And I think Joe Rogan pointed out something very important when he was talking to Alex Jones the other night, just recently when they had their podcast, is that, look, this is a dangerous and slippery slope. We're all about free speech in the United States. And so let's be careful about silencing each other's voice, because we need to be able to speak our minds. We're not all going to agree on everything. But I think we need to be careful about what it is that we're silencing. It's just, I think it's diabolical. And it's tyrannical to silence people just because you can, and you don't like the whatever it is that their opinion is that they're sharing. So I think we got to have a hard look at this, folks.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You say, you know, we're supposed to be about free speech. I think some of us are for free speech in this country, and then there's groups that aren't for any free speech,
right?
Yeah, you know, it's like we're not. I'm all for people saying what they want because words don't hurt me. I will react to your words. I will combat your words with my words. But when you do this thing where you cut off people, I mean, 1.5 billion page views that they just wiped out in a year because they didn't like what people were saying. And it wasn't anything about suicide or self-harm. It's just conservative points of view.
Yeah. Well, I've heard recently the word liberty is one of those being targeted for censorship and suppression by Facebook. And I got to tell you what, you know, the leadership of any organization or company sets the culture there. So I think that's a pretty shameful and even diabolical culture that you're going to target the word liberty in the United States of America for suppression and censorship. I think that's pretty telling.
Well, it makes sense because that's what Barack Obama did with the IRS. If you had liberty, if you had freedom, if you had Patriot, if you had Tea Party in your group name, well, you were getting an extra look at. You were getting the rubber glove put on, and you were getting the old prostate exam from the IRS. And so they were keeping people from getting their tax-free exempt status because they didn't want a whole group of people who were angry about how the election had gone on and how they were decided they were going to take it back going through the midterms, which we saw a revolution there in the first midterm, the Obama midterm. Well, and it really changed the dynamic. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's what they mean to do, change the dynamic. They mean to silence one voice so that our perception is that the other people are the only way that anybody thinks, and so to sway our opinion. And they do. They ramp up this type of censorship and suppression closer to the elections. And that's a matter of national security. We need to have a hardcore look at that. That's not something that we can just turn a blind eye to and say, well, they're just naughty and misbehaving. They're irresponsible and unaccountable. And oh, those naughty little wankers, you know, it's not any laughing matter. It's not a small thing when there's a monopoly to the degree that it is on how Americans communicate now on these social media platforms. It is a lot more important an issue than a lot of people might realize, because they're trying to change the narrative and the perception of how we all believe. And even the Democrats, or even the liberal Democrats, don't generally believe in silencing other people's voice. This is coming from a radical and very hostile subsection of the radical left. This is an Islamist. It's a Sharia level suppression and censorship that is not American. That does not come from our culture. And that's a hostility and a lack of empathy and compassion and recognition of a free society that is foreign to the United States. And I think we ought to sit up and take notice of it sooner rather than later.
It really is. And the time for, you know, paying lip service to this, I've seen Trump Jr. talk about it in the last couple days. You know, Trump tweets about it constantly. But he's actually got to do something. He's got to appoint some counsels. He's got the ability to do this with his presidential powers to change, at least get the information out there. You know, it takes James O'Keefe doing undercover, hiring undercover people who are hiring people who used to work at Facebook. This lady that we have up on the screen right now, she used to work for Facebook. He hired her. She became a whistleblower. And then going and confronting these people, James O'Keefe is really one of the main people working on this. All we need is the government, and not even, all he needs to do is get some people together, get some people on the right, get some people on the left, get them together in a presidential committee to look at these issues and get some facts out, let them investigate, give them a budget. I mean, how much money do we waste anyway? How much money have we wasted on this Russian collusion investigation? Let's put 20, 30 million into this. Let people do some real work, real research. Present the findings to the American people through C-SPAN in a live forum so it can't be censored. Put the information out there. And then we need to hold these companies accountable, because they've all gone in front of Congress and said, we don't censor anybody. We're good guys.
We don't make them swear in. We don't swear them in under oath, so we can't hold them accountable for their lies. It's a mockery. If anyone seems to be patriotic or believes in empowering the actual American citizens, they're sworn in, and if they make a misstep, they're prosecuted for it. Whereas it seems like no matter how far someone is on the radical left, they're not sworn in, and they're allowed to just lie and say, I don't remember, and I'll have to get back to you on every single thing. And nobody ever pressures someone on it. Take Zuckerberg's testimony as an example. So I think it's an insult. Imagine, Rob, if the FBI were completely behind our president and cleaning this up and holding these platforms accountable. Imagine if our entire DOJ was behind him and was behind our Constitution and our people and our culture, and were holding these hostile social media platform companies accountable for their lies.
Yeah.
And making them reveal their algorithms and who it is that they're really suppressing.
We'd be in a much different place. We're about to go to break, Craig. We'll be right back after this with Craig Sawyer. TacticalInsider.com, VetsForChildRescue.org. We'll be right back, and we're going to pick this conversation up and talk about this, because this is something we need to get beyond talking, though. We need to get into the action.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, the tangled web of Ilhan Omar, who's a rep in the House, she's from Minnesota, is really getting interesting. Jacob Wall was on the show this morning. He went up there with a team to Minnesota. I think one of the most interesting things they showed was an ISIS flag on the wall. If you guys can find that picture of the ISIS flag that they showed in their investigation, that would be great. But they did put a press conference out about an hour and a half ago. About 2 hours ago. 2 hours and 20 minutes ago. Talking about what they found. So I want to play that as soon as they get it up. But because it has to do with her, whether she married her biological brother in order to become, attain legal migration status. And never ended the marriage despite taking a new husband in America. So that would be interesting. A polygamous bride, or I guess it's a polygamist. Anyway, we'll get to that as soon as you guys can find it and get it ready. Craig, how do we stop this censorship? Because we're not doing anything wrong. We're not doing anything distasteful. It seems like if you were shooting some sort of porn at the border, that would be okay and that would be promoted everywhere. But since it's illegals crossing the border, and here's the drug runners that come across the border and they're dressed in camo and they look like paramilitary forces, that's bad. You have to be censored on Facebook. So what do we do to stop this?
Yeah, well, the censorship issue is a touchy one because we want people to have free speech, at least I do. And I think the reason that we don't is what we need to focus on. Why is it that somebody is so threatened and so desperate to silence the American patriot, people who just want the truth to be told? So we got to look at the political situation, look at the strategy. Where's the hostility coming from about our southern border? I don't think people care so much about race. Everybody says it's all about racism. And on the ground here, as somebody that lives down here, I don't see that being the case at all. People don't really care what race anybody is these days. At least most people don't. It's political, and it's about power. It's about money, and it's at the top. So a lot of people that want the border to be porous are benefiting from it. The drugs and the human trafficking and the child trafficking, which brings it into my lane. So I think we need to address the corruption. And a lot of this, you know, just talking to different people in federal law enforcement that I know, and people in Border Patrol and so forth, I ask them, what's the problem, man? And they'll admit, we've got a lot of people that want to do their job and be effective, but they know that some of their senior management don't have their backs to do an effective job. In fact, if they're too effective, they're going to get punished. They're going to get pulled off the border and sent somewhere else, or they're going to get reassigned, or they're going to get demoted. And they'll learn not to make problems by being effective at their job. So I think we've got to look at some of the legacy managers that have been left over from a previous administration who are not genuinely wanting to secure our border and be effective in the job. So we've got to do that, not just in the Border Patrol, but in every federal law enforcement agency. Yeah.
It really FBI. Goes through,
and I, yeah. Exactly.
DOJ.
I know so many fantastic people in the FBI and CIA and others. It's the key managers and the brass and certain points up and down the chain of command that remain there that are hostile to our American people, to our Constitution. And it seems so foreign and so unthinkable to the average American, unless they've been inside like I have and been exposed to it. It seems like it's not true, but it is true. And they're carrying the ball in a way against the American people that's so hostile that we have to just really wake up and kind of face it and deal with it as it is. So I think Obama needs a corruption buster crew that works directly for the executive branch.
That was a Freudian slip. You said Obama.
a corruption buster. Oh, President Trump.
Yeah.
He needs a crew. Yeah. So that goes and busts all the corruption, and it go agency by agency and finding out who are the people that make good things happen and who are the people that are causing the logjam and the obstructionists.
Yeah.
And making some bold changes there. And if, you know, we're two years into President Trump's first term, and if he doesn't hurry up, he's going to run out of time here. I think he's got to do this on the quick.
And then we're going to be back where we started from. Speaking of Obama, his husband's going to be here in Austin tonight doing a rally should be quite the scene. Let's go to this clip now. And I say that in jest because I haven't actually checked under the hood to see. This is Jacob Wall on his investigation into Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. This is what he presented at CPAC today.
Mr. Wolf.
Well, absolutely. We'll get right into it here. So following my petition on change.org to remove Ilhan Omar, which is right here, 200,000 people called for her removal, almost as many people as voted for her. And what I think is one of the largest political referendums, certainly of 2019, but possibly in the last few years. And so we had no choice but to put a team on the ground, consisting of myself, Laura Loomer, the team at Culture, who did the background dossier and gave us the beginning intel that we needed to get started. And we had one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to determine whether or not Ilhan Omar married her brother. Now, specifically, she admits to marrying a man by the name of Mr. Elmi, Ahmed Elmi. She admits this. She released a public statement. She said she did it. And so the real question was, is this man her brother? If so, that would be illegal. That would be a violation of Minnesota law and a federal law. And not only did we find that Ahmed Elmi is the brother of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, we also found conclusively that she used that sham marriage to seek out citizenship status for Ahmed Elmi, her biological brother, who at the time was a British citizen. She sought citizen status for him. She also sought student loans. Now, the penalty for seeking student loans for lying on a FAFSA application is 5 years in prison, up to 5 years in prison, and a $25,000 fine. That was all done by Congresswoman Omar. So if you open up your reports, you'll find that on the first page...
Yeah, we can pull out right here. So look at that, Craig. Now, I want to see their evidence, obviously. This is what they say they found on the ground there, but it looks like Congresswoman Omar married her brother to get him into this country and then was filling out student loan forms. A sham marriage, basically. It's against the law. But hey, once again, if you're a Democrat, I guess you're allowed to do this. Is that right?
Well, whatever happened to vetting people? We've got people voted into high offices that we don't know who they are, where they came from, what their allegiances are. You know, we used to be a melting pot here. We would all celebrate the fact that we had the freedoms and liberties here that nobody else really enjoyed anywhere else on earth. What our founding fathers set about for us is really a beautiful thing. And everybody used to be so desperate to get here and celebrate that and embrace it and become American. We are all Americans and we were united and we have been played now. We've been separated and divided every which way by the corrupt elite who want complete control, and they need to...
Hey, I'm going to let you finish out on the other side, Craig. That's Craig Sawyer, former Navy SEAL, TacticalInsider.com. We'll be right back after this. You're watching The War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might offend
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Well, CNN has turned this into a big story. 12-year-old charged with drawing anti-Semitic graffiti on school playground. And you know why they're doing this? And I'm sure Craig will back me up on this. When you tell kids that certain subjects can't be talked about, can't be looked at, can't be discussed, and they're verboten, what are kids going to do? They're going to do that, what you tell them not to do. And they don't know, they haven't been taught about Hitler and what he meant. 12-year-old boys look at that and go, oh, you're saying I can't draw a swastika? Watch me draw a swastika. You're saying I can't go over here on this playground? I'm going to go over there and do that. And so, of course, you have CNN turning this into a national story. They'll probably dox this kid. Probably call him a Trump supporter. I mean, Craig, this, when you start making everything illegal and verboten, it's going to make people want to seek it out more. You can just watch yesterday's Joe Rogan podcast. Alex Jones has been kicked off social media. Now it's got 3 million views.
Yeah. all children act out as they're learning how to behave as they grow. And, you know, never before has it been made a national political hot button issue. You know, it's like, hey, they're kids, let them develop, but let it be settled at the lowest possible level. You know, if he's making graffiti that's inappropriate, that's between the school officials and the parents. That can be cleaned up pretty quickly. And like, hey, tighten your kid up with, you know, that kind of stuff's not accepted here.
Well, Craig, this is just proof that Trump's America is taking over. That's what this is. That's all. That's what they're trying to prove. They're trying to somehow gear this toward Trump and say Trump's bad because this kid did something that he was not supposed to do.
Yeah, and that's what I'm driving at. Everything gets blown up into a national political scandal. And it's, again, I think strategically, what do you want if somebody is a hostile tyrant and they want complete control of the American people? They need us first divided and scattered before them. And that's dangerous for us. We need to be aware of that as citizens. I don't care what your political beliefs are. If you're an American of any type, you need to resist being divided and being told that we all hate each other and that nobody can get along and all these things are, you know, end of the world, you know, scenarios. Oh my gosh, a misguided kid made an inappropriate graffiti. We all hate each other and all is lost. Let's turn on each other and let's go to war here in the United States. We need to settle down. We need to resist this division. Beware of the dividers. I say it again and again. We are one nation. We are one people. We need to celebrate. If we sat down, look, I know people on the complete opposite end of the spectrum here in the United States, and we agree on 99.9% of the things. It's only when you get all the way down in the weeds on certain political solutions for things that we start to disagree, and it's basically disagree on which solutions work best. But what's being portrayed is that we are opposite ends of the spectrum. What's the people that are bringing the global communism into the United States now, the high-level elite players that want to benefit from scattering us and dividing us and gaining complete control and taking our freedoms and liberties from us, don't want us united. They don't want us educated. They don't want us well prepared and well defended. They want us broken down, divided, scattered, and dumbed down. And I think we need to recognize the game that's being played, and we need to be harder targets. We need to unite. We need to talk more. We need to realize that we've been snowed, all of us, on both sides of the aisle, and the independents. And to be honest, I think most Americans that I know all identify as independents, but it's just not, we're not allowed to vote that way because it's not put up on the roster that way. We're split into left and right, red and blue. You got to choose. And I think that divide is contrived, Rob.
Oh, I know. I totally agree. And if you look at, you know, European countries, when they vote, there's like five or six different parties that are able to vote in the election. They're all given equal access. And I agree, we do need more parties because, really, I'm not a Republican. I've never considered myself a Republican. I'm definitely more of a Libertarian. But I don't agree with the way the Libertarian Party really operates, and I became a Republican to mainly get Ron Paul in and then you know, vote for Trump. So that's where I stand on that. Any updates on Vets for Child Rescue? I know you've been working on this ongoing project to stop child sex trafficking or just child trafficking in general. Any updates on that?
Yeah, well, we're signed with one of the top production companies in the industry for a series now, for a big high-level series that will go around and show everybody what really goes on with the children. So we're excited about that. And things this big move a little bit more slowly than I would like because I'm excited, man, and I want it to be like tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so we're going through that process, and we're having some legal stuff. Our first two-hour feature film documentary, we're in the process of getting that back, and we're making good progress. And so I'm thankful for that, although that's been frustrating too. And then we've hired new cyber experts from several different agencies now, and are setting up new operations with law enforcement, mostly here in the United States, although internationally too. So those new operations are exciting. So we're working out setting all those things up and then building out our organization stronger so that when it goes big, it goes long and far. And it's a lot more bureaucratic stuff than I would like, but that's what it takes if you want to build something powerful that lasts. You know.
Well, I mean, you're going against satanic billionaires, so you have to do something. And it's going to, you know, it takes money, it takes effort, it takes time. So I commend you for your work. Thank you for joining us here on the War Room. Wish you the best of luck. Now, I want to open up the phone lines for the next few segments. And Owen Schroer is actually going to come in and take over the last hour. But let me give you the number, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. Now, I think I'll play this clip in the next segment. The articles, watch Planned Parenthood doc say she would break baby's neck if born alive after abortion. You got to see it to believe it. We'll play in the next segment. But let's play. Let's see. Cohen saying Trump made it clear he wanted me to lie. Actually, now we don't have time for that. Never mind. Now we'll just skip those clips. I thought it was 1:33 and then I looked down at it wrong. I looked at the wrong time. But here we are, Rudy Giuliani, because I want to talk about this Cohen business a little bit, because this was made to upstage Trump and what he was doing in North Korea. And hey, you know, people were pulling for Trump to fail, and they're like, ha ha, he failed. He's never going to get this Korean dictator. I commend him for walking away from the table. If the deal's not good and they don't want to talk, walk away. As Kenny Rogers said it, know when to walk away, know when to run. And if you don't have everything that you're looking for, we hold the cards with North Korea. So we can walk away from any deal. Maybe they just need a little more time. There it is. No one to fold them. No one to walk away. No one to run. Giuliani accuses Cohen of committing provable perjury at least 3 or 4 times in his bombshell testimony. He branded Trump racist, a con man. And then he admitted, I like how he said he told CNN he wanted a job in the White House and he didn't get it. So there's Rudy Giuliani. There are many witnesses that can testify on the controversy. Let's see if Chairman Cummings will refer it for prosecution. So, yeah, we have to wait for Elijah Cummings to do it. And, of course, he's not going to do it. There's an interesting back and forth between Mark Meadows and Rashid Tlaib, where she was trying to say Trump using a black staffer as a token Negro is racist. And she was basically accusing Mark Meadows of being racist. And then he wanted that stricken from the record. And I just saw on Twitter that now this, of course, has gotten a hold of this whole thing. And they've turned it into poor Rashid Tlaib. Here it is from now this. Rashid Tlaib told GOP Rep Meadows that using a black Trump employee as a prop to show Trump isn't racist was a racist act in itself. He responded by demanding her words be struck from the record because she was calling him a racist. And she's nearly in tears. She just can't go around calling people racists. Oh, poor Rashid Tlaib. All right, we'll be back with your phone calls. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. You're watching The War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, are we surprised? Sorry about that. That creepy Joe Biden looks like he's going to run. His family said it. Oh, yeah, you can run. Major Republican donors want to help his 2020 campaign. Are we surprised? No. I welcome creepy Joe because I'm going to make some great videos about him. And also, this just showed up on the Twitters. InfoWars number one troll, Owen Schroer, has now been immortalized on several, many different troll dolls. You know, the trolls with the big hair. Please pull up the picture. There it is. The troll collection now available. So spread that around. Check it out. He's our troll. We love him. He'll be up here in the next hour. I want to go to your phone calls, and I want to play this clip on Watch Planned Parenthood doc say she would break a baby's neck if born alive after abortion. These people are truly sick. I don't know what more you can say about that. I mean, how could you do that to a baby? How could you grab a baby by the neck and break it? I mean, I don't know. It's insane. But look, let me tell you. I plugged once last hour. I'm going to plug once this hour. Right now, we have some amazing deals. We have the Alpha Power Bodies combo. Bodies is something I take every day. It's that 90-something percent curcuminoids from the curcumin. What is it, 95%, 96%? It's up there. It's some of the best turmeric you can get. And turmeric is great for inflammation. If you work out a lot, if you're just achy, it helps me with my aches and pains. I'll tell you that right now. It's like taking Advil. That's for me. Alpha Power is also one of our, it's sort of like a powdered version of Super Male Vitality. You could take that. It's a little bit cheaper than Super Male Vitality, and Super Male Vitality, we're kind of shifting off because we weren't unable to keep the prices to our liking. So check that out. It's a great combo, 50% off Bodies, 50% off Alpha Power. Protein bars, 40% off when you buy two boxes or more. You might as well get two boxes. You might as well get the vanilla coconut and the peanut butter chocolate because they're both great. I had a protein bar after my ride yesterday. Totally filled me up. I didn't eat, and I had some eggs later on that night, but I didn't eat for like 3 hours after my ride. Just had some water and that, and it really did help me. And as you know, cyclists are the happiest people in the world, it says, according to a new study. Maybe not as happy as J.O. and Schroer, who's just licking his chops wanting to get in here. But let's go to the phone lines. Remember, InfoWarsStore.com, 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 InfoWarsStore.com. There it is. Now let's go to Corrine in Michigan. Let's talk about Facebook censorship. Go ahead, Corrine.
Well, hello. Been a long-time listener. I've got a lot of your products. One thing I wanted to talk about here was the Facebook banning. This has went on with me for quite some time. And at the time... And I think it's been about 3 or 4 years now. I was heavily involved with the media for a while, and I had a lot of media friends, probably over 900 friends there on Facebook. And I was doing an awful lot of Alex Jones promotion on my site. And the name that I was going by was Stony Wolf. But... they suddenly just took everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the pictures, everything I had on there, and they wanted all of my identification, social security number, everything. And in order to get the page back. And I mean, I'm telling you, I told them, I said, hey, you know what? I'm Native American. This is my name I go by. It's a sacred name. You have no right to take this and take my persona here. You know, they wanted everything. So somehow I ended up getting back on. I don't know if it's because I used a different email or what it was, but I no longer have those 900 friends.
No, they want to ruin your influence. They don't want you influencing people. They see you, oh, look, this person's got clout. Let's take their page away, get rid of their friends, and then after they jump through all the hoops we want them to jump through, or after the passage of time, we'll slowly give it back to them. It's totally sick. Thanks for calling, Corrine. It is disgusting what they do. They don't want people to have a different point of view. That's what they don't want. They're afraid of that. Let's go to Noel in Colorado. Who can clean up corruption? I think that's our job, but what's your solution, Noel?
Hi, Rob. Yes, going back to an earlier conversation you had about corruption in the government, and it made me think of a guest that you've had on quite a bit, but I haven't seen him lately. He had talked with Alex Jones, and maybe you, Rob, about how he had contacts in the DOJ and FBI, and you know who he is, Steve Pachesnik. Have you had him back on at all?
I don't think he's been on in a couple months. I'm not sure why, but yeah, well, you know, he... I'm not sure if Steve Pachinik's the guy to clean up corruption. He knows where the corruption is, but I don't think he's the guy to do it. I think you need a younger approach. And no offense to Steve whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think he knows where the bodies are buried, but I don't think he's the one to be like the foot soldiers to actually go in and root out the corruption.
Well, he actually said when he was in conversation with Alex that because of his old contacts that he still had, that he could go in there and do it quickly and easily, and that if Trump wanted it, he'd be glad to do it and put a team together to do that. Anyway, so it's come back again and again, and he is a good man, and he is older, but he still seems to have all those inside connections. So I just want to share it with you. That's all.
No, it would definitely be interesting to see. I'd like to see Trump do anything other than just be a whipping boy for the press and the Department of Justice, who don't seem to want to do anything but continually investigate him, and it's only going to get worse now. Thanks for your call, Noel. Let's go to Matthew in Wisconsin, wants to talk about Asperger's versus autism. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
It's cool. I actually got on the show. It's taken me a few tries here. But so basically, one thing I'm trying to kind of get some support for, I created a kind of a group on Facebook I'm loosely working with, but I'm actually going to get more active now with. I'm calling it Aspies for Trump. I'm using a red puzzle piece and the whole deal. And the thing that I'm trying to get is the idea that what liberals do is they like to get everybody, for instance, you know, blacks, people of color, get everybody into the same group, and then they get to, you know, be the head of that group. One thing that they've been doing is they've been using Autism Speaks, organizations like that, to get people together, say, hey, you guys don't have a voice, we're going to speak for you, you know, and get us to do that. And it's driving me nuts, especially because of the fact that they took Asperger's and because of the fact that we weren't getting any help and lumped it in with autism and said that, you know, we're all the same group. But
ooh, tell you the wow. truth,
you know, and I'm a little offended by that because personally, it makes it harder for me to get a job.
Huh. So, you know, there are some people that are autistic on certain spectrums that are more closer to Asperger's than like the hardcore autism where they can't really function at all. So there, I think there is, might be some similarities, but tell people, so do you suffer with Asperger's?
I love it. Every minute of it. I love having a different kind of brain. I love being able to pull out information that most people can't come up with. I mean,
right. You know, so you don't consider it suffering then. You consider it as like a superpower.
Yeah, it is. I look at it like X-Men. And honestly, we should be doing it like X-Men. We should be going around finding these kids, finding these people that are freaking amazing, you know, and then like putting us onto a platform where we don't have to feel like we're disabled. We don't have to feel like, you know, we can't function. And that's all that everybody's been telling me my whole life is they've been telling me there's something wrong with me and I can't function properly. And the reality is I can process information and cross-reference information approximately 7.5 times faster than the average person, but only when I'm not being directed by somebody.
It's when you're free-forming.
Yeah. And that's
you're like a jazz musician of the mind.
Yep. And that's a disability, I guess. I don't know. I don't see it as I see it as a freaking amazing ability. I mean, it's like in 20 years, dude, the aliens are going to come in or whatever's going to happen. You know, there's going to be some crazy situation that humanity is not going to be able to face, and they will have already killed off the people like me that could we could figure it out. You know,
hidden in a cave, there is Aspies for Trump, the plucky group that is here to save mankind from the alien invasion.
Just people with Asperger's. I want some allies, man, because we're not social. We're not tribal. We're a human adaption that, I mean, we overshot it a little bit, you know, but we're just adapting to this new technological age. That's why there's more of us.
Well, Matthew, it was great talking with you. I hope your group is successful and you can find more of your X-Men out there and do some good for the world. I totally appreciate your call. Owen Schroyer up next. You're watching The War Room. Infowars.com/show is a free stream to send out to everybody you know. You can follow me on Twitter at Dews News, DewsNewz. Thank you.
Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right. Welcome back to the War Room. Owen Schroyer now filling in for Rob Dew, filling in for me. I have reconquered my own ship. There will be no mutiny. There will be a new background, though, when I come back from this first break. All right, I want to take phone calls here in the last hour. 888-201-2244. Off he goes! Wow, that was like a 40-yard dash right out of this studio. I want to take phone calls. 888-201-2244. Your response to Alex Jones on Joe Rogan. The Michael Cohen testimony, if you want. Cohen testified behind closed doors today to Adam Schiff's committee. A bunch of nothing burgers to be had there. And even the main headlines from Cohen's testimony of yesterday are already a thing of the past. So the Michael Cohen 24 hours of Michael Cohen has about a 24 hour fresh date. Any Michael Cohen story has about a 24 hour freshness date. And then anything after that, you don't want to eat it. It's just it's expired. It's no good. So, if you want to call in on that, or if there's any other news you want to call in on today, we will take your calls, 888-201-2244. I do have some news that I need to get to. In fact, I forgot to print it out, because there's some stuff that has developed, actually, in the last couple of hours here. You know what? Here's what I'll do. While I was off air, I was doing a little more research into the Trump-Kim summit, and I want to kind of re-steer a couple of the angles that I put out in the past, which is, one, they would have already had a deal before the meeting. So they basically had a deal, and then it's my estimation, and this is kind of what I said earlier, but it goes a little deeper because I learned some new things that's going on right now with Trump withholding certain sanctions and Trump not imposing tariffs on China, withholding those tariffs before the March 1st date. And so basically what you have is the real powers in motion are the unbalanced trade between China and the United States of America, and that's what Trump is trying to correct. Now, China is responsible for about 90% of North Korea's imports. So that's food. Literally everything that's coming in. North Korea can't really sustain itself right now. So North Korea needs China. That's where they get 90% of their imports, which is what they survive off of. China can use North Korea as a geopolitical pawn because North and South Korea are technically still at war. The United States still has skin in that game. So you have Trump and Kim both smiling, shaking hands, but saying we had to walk. We couldn't make the deal. Why? Well, allegedly, Kim wanted less sanctions. Trump couldn't lift all the sanctions unless he made other certain guarantees and promises for the future. And then, of course, part of that was denuclearization. So that's what you basically had, and they had to walk away. So I would say I'm at a point right now where I say you will either have Trump and Kim meet one more time in the 2019 calendar year, or Trump and Kim will have a meeting in 2020, and it will be a big, massive feather in Trump's cap before the presidential election. And both could happen. But I feel like Trump is going to try to get something done there before the 2020 election, and I think he's going to use that election as a kind of a negotiation strategy with Kim, saying, hey, look, I might not win this election. If we're going to do this, we got to do this now. Fresh new background. know people are saying they're really enjoying the Infocoms, infocoms.org. And that's where you can go meet like-minded info warriors in whatever state you're in, whatever city you're in, whatever county you're in. You go on there, search for other like-minded people. I don't even do a good enough job plugging it, and it still has a ton of hits there. And I am wearing my InfoWars Hexagon logo t-shirt today, which you can get at InfoWarsStore.com. I have opened up the phone lines, 888-201-2244, for anybody that would like to call in on anything, really. But a lot of people want to talk about Alex Jones on the Joe Rogan Experience, including Carlos, who we'll go to here first. But at InfoWarsStore.com, we've got specials happening right now. You just saw them, 50% off Bodies, 50% off Alpha Power, 40% off the InfoWars Live protein bars when you order two or more boxes, 33% off Turbo Force, 50% off storable foods. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. It's your support at InfoWars Store that makes everything we do here possible. And actually today I have to actually give credit to the coffee at InfoWarsStore.com for having me on air still. I was drinking coffee today during the Alex Jones show, and actually right now I'm drinking filtered water, filtered by the water filters at InfoWarsStore.com out of an InfoWars Hexagon logo tumbler. So there you go. How do you like that? All can be found at InfoWarsStore.com. Yes, there it is. Wake Up America Patriot Blend is what I was drinking today. Just felt like drinking some coffee. Usually I drink the Turbo Force. There's the InfoWars Hexagon logo t-shirt. 5-star, 100% customer review. How do you like that? 100% of reviews are 5 stars. I guess I'm really just such a bum that I know a good t-shirt. Like, think about that. I guess I shouldn't be admitting this. Maybe I'll fall off Roger Stone's best dress list, but I have such good taste in t-shirts. I knew it. When I saw this t-shirt, I was like, this is going to be massively popular. Every rating is a 5-star rating at the InfoWarsStore.com review system. And you can get it at InfoWarsStore.com right now, the InfoWars Hexagon logo t-shirt. Okay, we've got the phone lines ready to go now. Let's go out to Carlos in Texas, who's going to lead us off here in the third hour. Go ahead, Carlos.
Hello, Gwen. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
Hey, you're welcome. First of all, I want to plug in some of the products you guys sell. Survival Shield, Biodefense, Probiotic, Alpha Power, Michael DX, Silver Bullet, DNA Force, the Bone Broth. All of them are excellent products. I've been taking them for the last 4 or 5 years. I've introduced my family to them, and everyone likes them, you know? So thank you, guys. You guys produce really, really, really good products, really healthy ones, too.
Well, thank you, Carlos. And we know that, you know, we're constantly under attack, so we have to put out good products. We know they're going to be tested by our enemies out there. And then they do test them, and they're like, well, we tried. The products are actually as good as they say.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Owen, well, first, you know, I wanted to talk about the Joe Rogan Experience, but, you know, decided to change my topic, and I would like to talk about the building the wall.
Go ahead.
I'm originally from Mexico. I came here about 16 years ago or so to attend college, graduated, and got a job in the U.S. and decided to stay here. But yeah, I do support Trump. I'm from Mexico. I support Trump. I do support building the wall. I think we have to. Many people don't want to face the problems on the border, the drugs, the crime, the child sex trafficking.
Well, and you said you came here. You came here from Mexico 16 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, you came here legally.
Yeah.
So for somebody, which are millions of Americans like yourself, to see mm-hmm. people skipping that process that you had to go through, what does that feel like?
I mean, you know, the process was really difficult, money wise, time wise. I had to wait a long time to get my residence card. So I think it's unfair for other people to just, you know, cross the border and get their paperwork right away.
Yeah, and now they're saying in Pennsylvania, if you get pulled over by a state trooper and you're, you know, doing anything and you're a non-citizen, they can't even touch you. So non-citizens now have a higher status than actual citizens in America. It's really backwards.
It is true. I've seen it and I've experienced that myself. I have some friends. I've met some people who are illegal in the U.S. And just to tell you a couple of stories, I've gotten calls, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning from a friend, but actually the policeman was calling, telling me, hey, I got your friend. He's, you know, driving drunk. Come and pick him up in the next 20 minutes and we'll let him go. So that happens. That happens. If you're illegal in the U.S., they let you go.
But if for some reason, that seems to be the biggest one. And I don't know if it's just because, you know, drunk driving, you know, that's just a common thing. But that seems to be the story you hear all the time, is it's just like they can drink. If you're a non-citizen, you get caught drinking and driving, it's like nothing. Mm-hmm. Like they don't even do anything. Amazing. Hey, Carlos, thank you so much for your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for calling in today. Let's jump over to Paul in Las Vegas. Also wants to talk about the border. Oh, and I just want to put this out there before I forget. It's kind of off topic, but I'm going to lose track of it. What are the odds? This is just kind of out of left field. I just have to get it out there. What are the odds that those men eating out of the trash in that video that Jorge Ramos was talking about, what are the odds that they actually set that up? Because they set up all kinds of fake news to stage crap for regime change. So I'm just putting that out there now. It's out there. Okay, now let's go to Paul in Las Vegas. Okay, Paul, go ahead.
How you doing? I have some solutions for, like, the border. We should put some solar panels on there and have a high-speed rail that's solar-powered, and also that would electrify it so we won't have as much, you know, much traffic come across.
Oh, my gosh. Well, wait a second. Paul, you get government funds to build walls to protect train tracks. The government literally spends hundreds of millions of dollars to build walls around train tracks to protect train tracks. Paul, you're a genius. Yeah. All we got to do is you put a train at the border, and then you say, I'm just building walls around the train tracks. Bingo. Yes, brilliant.
And also, if you use the solar panels, we can electrify Mexico as well as the United States. This is a no-brainer. We have to have solar panels on the wall. Has to be done.
So,
Are you there?
Oh, yeah. I'm just thinking about that train wall. Oh, it's not for the border. It's not for the border. Calm down, Paul. I'm not building a wall for the border. I'm building a wall for this beautiful train that I just built here.
Okay, you understand where I'm coming from. We have solutions, and our president's a genius. We just have to put in play what all the Americans want to happen, and we can make it happen. If we manifest—
Isn't that our biggest frustration, Paul? I guess we expect the world from Trump, but it's like, we just know. It's like you said, we have the solutions to all of this stuff. It's just we just thought we elected a man of action. We need more action.
Listen, I developed a way to build hydrogen fuel cells from your razor blades. I was taking your brain force when I thought of it, and they work so great. And it's recycling. They're free. So I want to get the word out there about that, too. I have a lot of solutions long term that are going to make everybody's life a lot easier. We won't have to worry about people flooding into our country if the whole world is able to produce their own power and things.
But see, if the left gets power, they don't even want someone like Paul to exist. They'll say, what's that you're doing with razor blades? That's illegal. You should be recycling those. In fact, you should probably never have them because we had to use fossil fuels to make them. So you know what, Paul? No, we don't need your solar wall. Okay? We don't need your train either.
InfoWars.com/show.
Back here at the InfoWars.com War Room. Brought to you by TurboForce at InfoWarsStore.com. We're taking your phone calls here. Want to cover some news stories real quick. She was raped in college. Now she's fighting against federal gun control. In 2014, Shina Lopez Rivas was raped on her college campus. I had pepper spray, but he had a knife, she told reporters on Capitol Hill Tuesday. And I knew my fight was over the moment he pulled it out. After that vicious attack, I promised myself I would never, ever be a victim again. Had I been armed that night that he stole so much from me, I am confident things would have been different. But the left and the Democrats want her to be the victim again. This story is from Breitbart. Travel ban ends nearly all immigration from terrorist-sanctioned countries, but I actually wanted to respond to Ann Coulter's tweet about this, where she says ban immigration from all countries. You know, I have to be honest with you folks. I kind of agree, and I've said this before, but see, the problem is when you phrase it like that, they say, oh, xenophobe. No, you just have to say, we have to put a temporary ban on immigration, period. Because we don't know what the hell is going on, and they won't even allow us to put on the census in 2020 that's coming up here, option, are you a citizen or not? I mean, this is out of control. Do we have a country or do we not? And if we just continue to allow not only immigration, but illegal immigration, the problem is just going to get worse and worse. So I actually think it's a totally fair, intellectual, philosophical question for America right now. Should we put a temporary ban on immigration? And it's not the first time it's ever been done. Again, from the 20s to the 60s, immigration in this country was almost at a standstill. More projection. This story is on Raw Story. Lanny Davis rips GOP for sad misuse of the criminal justice system after they accuse Cohen of perjury. Do you understand how sick these people are? Accuse Cohen of perjury. It's on friggin' record. Literally, it's on record. I mean, like, and then I'm telling you, I just the projection of these people, they are pathological, perpetual projectors. Criminal misuse of the justice system, that's them. That's literally them. I mean, it's just like, do I really have to explain all this again? Let's go out to the callers. Let's go to Dave, calling in from Ohio on this Thursday. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Owen. Great to talk to you. I was just calling to talk about, like, motivation. And one thing that would be motivating, I think, would be, say, to have, like, a national, you know, if we could, like, get a vote, like, on a national holiday in order to, like, once we defeat these globalists in the swamp, I think we should have a national holiday to, you know, celebrate. And
I'll tell you what, if there's a single day where Hillary and Obama and Comey and Brennan and Clapper and Lynch and Holder are all put on trial and all face justice, then okay, maybe. It did say National Trump Day on the thing, and you didn't necessarily say that, so I don't know if that's what you wanted to declare it. However, this is interesting. The president tweeted out about a week ago, it may have been Monday, that this 4th of July, he's having a huge party in D.C., basically. Now, I'm paraphrasing the tweet here. Maybe the crew can find it. But it was basically like, mark your calendars, big salute to America or something, 4th of July. I think it's National Gallery, D.C. or something. And so I mean, literally the day before he put that out, I said, America needs to just decide on a day, on a weekend, Memorial Day this year, whatever. And we all just put it on our calendars and say, okay, we're going to D.C. We're making a big show of it. And the next day, Trump tweets this out. But so there it is. It's the salute to America at the Lincoln Memorial. So here's the exact tweet. Hold the date. We will be having one of the biggest gatherings in the history of Washington, D.C. on July 4th. It will be called a salute to America and will be held at the Lincoln Memorial. major fireworks display, entertainment, and an address by your favorite president, me. So as far as having a national holiday when we drain the swamp, let's get there first, Dave. But maybe this salute to America on the 4th of July in D.C. is a start. But watch out. The terrorist left will have their eyes all over that deal. They'd love to have a bunch of conservatives in one spot and get away with a terror attack. Hopefully that isn't the case, but let's just call it what it is. One of these people got caught with a, what was it, like a 100-ton bomb that they were making. So these are mentally ill people that have now been driven to violence by the Hollywood left and by the media left like CNN. Thanks for the call, Dave. Let's jump out to T-Man calling in from Texas. Go ahead, T-Man.
Yes, Ellen. I have a question. I'm wondering about Cohen. Do you think that he is... has got a new plea deal for testifying for the Democrats?
You know, I don't know. I think maybe there's been teasing about that or rumors about that. I mean, it's not very efficient. I mean, he's more or less said that. He's admitted he's been meeting with Democrats for a while. I mean, you know, so he's meeting with the Democrats. So they're basically, you know, coordinating him, telling him what to do.
Right.
And then you also have the fact that he's talking about how he'll do anything to protect his family. Well, his wife could have been in jail as well for some of the crimes that he was involved in. So maybe he's angling for a plea deal. He did say he would not accept a pardon from President Trump. I think President Trump should have turned around and offered him a pardon the next day just to troll him. So, you know, I don't know as far as, you know, if there's already been a plea deal worked out, but I think that's definitely an angle there.
So is it the this Congress that he went in front of that this is the National Security Council or something like this?
You're talking about yesterday's committee or today's committee?
Yesterday's.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. It's led by Cummings. Yeah, I had
Elijah Cummings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the official document because Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan, Republicans on that committee, just submitted a motion to charge Cohen with perjury. Well, and it has the committee at the bottom of it, but I can't think of it. Foreign Affairs Committee, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. Well, as far as I know, Elijah Cummings, just like Michelle Obama's got a lot of InfoWars protein bars, and I think I'm pretty sure that's the reason why he's testifying.
I don't know. I mean, we know Michelle Obama likes the protein bars. I mean, that's been proven. I don't know about Michael Cohen or Elijah Cummings, though. If they did, they'd never admit it. They'd never admit it. Michael Cohen would lie about it. He lies about everything else. Michael Cohen would lie about the fact that everything... there's no papers in his briefcase, just protein bars.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're taking your phone calls. Let's go right out to Daryl calling in from Michigan. Wants to talk about the Kim Jong-un President Donald Trump summit. Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, you see, just by meeting with the leader of North Korea, he's already won. He's the first sitting president to meet with the leader of North Korea and the second president total.
Yeah, no. The media is a joke. Oh, Trump got played. Kim ate Trump's lunch. Trump a failure. These people are a joke.
Just by the Japanese not having to run and hide every time he gets a hair trigger, he's Trump won, you know?
Yes, but these, in general, most people are geopolitically ignorant. Who know? I mean, if the media is this geopolitically ignorant to not see how Trump just meeting with North Korea is a victory, It's like they're so clouded with their hatred for Trump and America that even a victory for America they view as a defeat, and now they just admit it.
Did you see the coverage of when he showed up at the hotel room? People in Vietnam, they were
that's what I'm saying. They just came out. There's a new Gallup poll that I guess you could say approval rating for United States worldwide is going up since we elected Trump. I mean, it's a joke. See, that's the thing, man. These people in the media, they don't understand. The people in the media, people really just hate them. I don't know what else to say. I mean, they hate you, CNN. The American people hate you, CNN. I'm sorry. It's not my fault, okay? I'm just telling you the truth. The American people hate the American media. I'm not trying to spread hate here. That's just the facts. And so when they sit here and they lie about President Trump and they ignore the fact that everywhere he goes around the world, he's accepted with open arms, and they have a huge celebration from China to Vietnam to South Korea to Italy to everywhere. Oh, and here's another thing, too. It's like people don't understand. So you're in Vietnam. Remember that Vietnam was a huge enemy of the United States not too long ago and totally ravaged by war. So he goes to Vietnam and he says, look, Kim, look at what Vietnam has become since we've made peace with them. Look at all the prosperity. Look at all the growth. Look at the economy. This could be you. But then the geopolitics come into play and you realize, okay, now it's China wanting to dominate these markets and dominate North Korea, and Trump having to wriggle them out of that leash.
Oh, China's a threat to all of Southeast Asia.
Anything else, Daryl?
Before you hang up, I want to kind of pimp out a guy that's simulcasting every broadcast Alex Jones does. The name is Rob Gibson, Ron Gibson. gab.com/Ron Gibson or facebook.com/Ron's Newsfeed. He simulcasts every show you guys do.
Yeah, look, Daryl, we don't say his name because we don't want him banned.
Gab, so.
Right. So, I hope he doesn't get banned. Thank you for the call, Daryl. Let's go to... who's been holding long? Let's go to Jefferson in Virginia on Project Veritas. Go ahead, Jefferson.
Afternoon, Owen.
Yeah, so Project Veritas catches Facebook admitting they engage in active political censorship. I mean, I'd have to go back and reinvestigate, but I'm pretty sure Sheryl Sandberg was under oath and said that that wasn't happening. So I'm sure that she'll get away with that, though.
Right, but what it also exposes or makes pretty clear is all these software engineers come here from other countries, probably on H-1B visas, and they're just infiltrators. They're just here to tear us down and get paid to do it.
This is true. This is very true.
And, they're not supposed to be able to replace Americans that are capable of doing that job in the first place and get paid more money or less money. It's supposed to be equal. And they break that law all the time, too. It's disturbing how far along they've gotten into basically undermining everything that's going on here.
Well,
but O'Keefe is a national treasure. That man is doing us wonders.
The guy should, I told him this yesterday, he should have a closet full of Pulitzer Prizes. I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah, everybody should see that. Look into it. What did Jennifer Lawrence accomplish with Represent Us today? Did you see that?
Well, I know that she had some... she was holding an event or whatever. She's going to save America. She has a plan to save America now. You know, I didn't really bother thinking too much about it because it's like I just said. Again, I'm not trying to be hateful here, okay? I'm just reporting the truth. America hates Hollywood, okay? They're sick of you, Jennifer Lawrence. You spoiled brats. You're the richest people in America, the most famous, and all you do is run around all day and bitch about the country that gave you everything. We're sick of it. So, yeah, Jennifer Lawrence is going to save America with her career in acting.
Is Harrison Smith making movies now? And is that blonde his girlfriend? That's what I want to know.
All right, Jefferson, if you call in about the blonde one more time, we're going to have to switch to a brunette. All right. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's jump over to Josh calling in from New Jersey. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Owen. Good to hear from you. I was talking about Omar, that Omar woman. How is that not big news that she married her brother, she's infiltrated our government, and then she gets daily briefings on vital information, and then she goes and spits it back to her Islamic posse, in the, you know, here and there. This is outrageous.
This country is out of control.
Out of control.
And because of political correctness, you're not allowed to say anything about it.
No, it is. This is outrageous. I mean, it's funny because I just moved back from Louisiana up here. It's the third time we've talked. And I did a trip up north here. And I think, like, we're talking about people overstaying visas in this. I haven't been in the Northeast, but I went up in upstate New York, Vermont there. I saw so many mosques and certain things. And I have nothing against Muslim people. But with, you know, all good comes bad. And I'm like, they're worried about our southern border. We need to stop this. There is a sleight of hand. I think they're coming all over the top, too.
Well, here's the thing. There is a certain, how should I say it? Let's say resentment amongst many Islamic movements. And why do I say this? Well, there was just a story in Birmingham in England, in the UK, where a group of Muslims just bought, I believe it was a Catholic church, just so they could go inside, tear it down, and, you know, insult Christianity. So, again, that's not obviously all Muslim people, but there is, and people could make the argument, maybe it's fair, but there is resentment, there is a chip on the shoulder, and so, yeah, they get into some of these countries and they feel like tearing it down is, you know, their form of justice.
Find out that she's not an American citizen. This is a big breach. You know, we can't have this. This is ridiculous. Oh, my God. You know, is it just me or is it just the idea that it's okay to kill babies now? Do I need to make a YouTube video of me just slashing a Barbie doll with an ice pick so people get the idea?
No comment.
I mean, are people just not understanding what's going on here?
Look, here's what I'm telling. Here's what I would say. This is what I do. I go to my local city council and I go and talk to the mayor and I say, hey, look, mayor, you realize that you're using taxpayer dollars to do something that we all know is morally wrong? You know, so that's what I would suggest for Americans to start doing. Thank you, Josh. Think about it. If the local city council in your city, every time they did public communication, had to hear from two or three people complaining about all the advantages Planned Parenthood gets, that's where we have to start. We have to start with stop the taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. Then maybe we can stop the abortions. But first, we have to stop giving them our money. We have to say, hey, this is our money. We don't want it going to Planned Parenthood. But until we do that, yeah, they'll let babies die that are newborns. They'll celebrate it, too.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Final segment here of the War Room. My boy Van Jones is getting a lot of flack right now for even daring to listen or hear out a conservative. I mean, how dare you? So there's that one level of insanity. And then, you know, the other thing I realized, and I didn't really flesh this out in its entirety on the Alex Jones show today. Here's the thing why a lot of conservatives are afraid of InfoWars. It's like, honestly, what it is that they don't like the fact that sometimes we raise our voice. That's really what it is to a lot of these people. And so they say, oh, Alex Jones and InfoWars gives a bad name to conservatives because we're just a little too real for them. And that scares somebody that has to be a little fake to do what they did. But I'm going to digress and go back out to your phone calls now. Let's start with Frank, or excuse me, yes, oh, yes, Fantastic Frank calling in from New York. Go ahead, Fantastic Frank.
Hi. I had a Hummel when you were talking about Trump, and Trump beat these people at their own game. They beat They are second behind him, and they should have ran Oprah Winfrey before him, and she would have won, and they could be up there. She could be doing everything that Trump is doing, getting the country upset, getting people upset, but they didn't. They are second. They are Johnny come lately. I think it's their problem with the media. That makes sense?
Hold on. I'm waiting to see if that phone rings again.
That's my phone.
Oh, really? I thought it was my phone.
No, it's my phone. I'm calling from a different phone number. I'm calling from my iPhone. That was my phone. And it was some robotized call that got lost.
What is going on right now?
Uh-huh.
Are you a surrogate for Oprah?
No, I never met her. I'm just saying that I think that Oprah, the media is pissed off at themselves, I could say that word, that they didn't have this first. They don't know how to deal with.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying. So you're saying that the left didn't really take advantage of putting a non-politician in there, and because the right did it, we kind of own it now for the next few elections?
That's right. And so they are going to run somebody up there that's going to look like a jerk when they get up there. They can't compete with
Trump. Yeah, no, you're right. Exactly. Trump. Oprah can't compete with Trump.
Nobody can. Who can? You know what I'm trying to say? And hell, if they ran Oprah before Trump, she could be the president of the United States right now. But they didn't think about that. They thought they'd go to politicians. The politicians would always run our country.
But even bigger than that, but even more so than that, they just assumed that with their control of the media, that we could never actually decide for ourselves who to put in office. And that's the real story. They thought they could destroy Trump and trick us into not electing him. Oops, sorry, you didn't. All right, fantastic, Frank. That was we got there. All right, let's now go to Dennis in Kentucky. Go ahead, Dennis.
Evening, Owen. If I could just say the best investment for any American patriot out there would be to go and get you a pro-pure king. On top of that, go and get you an Alexa Pure Breeze. It all starts at home. If you do not take care of your family first, how can you actually take care of anything else outside of your home?
And also, there's a level that's just the better your health is, the more productive you can be, the easier your day is, the better you can deal with stress. I mean, so much comes from just your own personal health. Even your mental health can be derived from your physical health. So it's very important. A lot of people ignore it.
I understand that. And that's the seems like the norm out of some of these people that just does not understand how the gut health works. But that's something totally different. I digress. I did want to say something about voter IDs. But at the same token, there is no way that we can actually trust anything that's moving forward from this point on. Dealing with voter registration or anything like that, going to vote, because we all know that they have this system locked in place because they have shown us with these last elections how they can do it. Now, if we look back at all the people that got in on the Democratic side, how they smeared a lot of other different campaign Republicans in the same breath, if you go look at the logs, there is no way the swing rate between these two individuals that's running should have been that largely separated. It shouldn't have been. It's no
now, are
way.
You talking about, I just want to be, I'm not, I don't think I'm fully understanding you. Are you talking about between straight Republican ticket voters and then people that magically just decided to elect, you know, let's say it's all Republican except magically they wanted the Democrat governor? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so they did, I forget who it was, someone actually did the data analysis Number. That you're talking about, and yeah, what they found was it's virtually impossible, or it's an anomaly that's never been seen before, where you had all of these straight Republican tickets, but then magically they'd have the one Democrat governor or the one Democrat senator, and it's just like, no, that never happens.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The metrics show that there is no way in a solid red that all of a sudden, I looked at these numbers, it's virtually impossible.
You have to know that that stuff was rigged. They had to bring some. They changed the ballots as they were coming in. As they were coming in, they changed them. You had people out there saying that my ballot was switched.
I'm sorry. Dennis, I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I'm just reliving the midterm election night. I mean, Dennis, let's actually, you remember? They got caught in Florida literally driving in truckloads of ballots. They got caught. Thank it's you. Like, I mean, this is ridiculous. It's like 3 a.m. in the morning in Broward County, and there's semi-trucks of ballots coming in. Oh, my God.
They showing everybody what they are capable of.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Can you guys find this B-roll? This is so ridiculous. It's almost like we can't even properly respond to it in real time, and we don't even realize how ridiculous it is until we're talking about it months later. Dennis, they're hauling in truckloads of ballots at midnight on election night. I mean, this is out of control.
It's not out of control. What it is they are showing us what they are capable of. This machine is so strong. It's Soros is one part. What's his name? Fethullah Gulen. He's a part of. I mean, it's a slew of people. I mean, all the way to the Vatican. You see how I can't remember the guy that comes on your show from Italy. He's showing
Leo Zagami.
Thank you very much, Leo Zagami. He's showing you that it's not who you think it is. It's exactly who you think it is.
Yeah.
This is all pedophilic ran. All of
The crew has the footage of them bringing in the ballots. You know, it's almost unbelievable, Dennis. You know, I mean, you just look at Dennis Hastert, you look at Jimmy Savile, you look at the top staffer for de Blasio, you look at that former, the Harvard grad Disney employee. I mean, the list goes on and on. You look at the things they're doing on YouTube. You look at the mass arrests. I mean, folks, these people are out there. Why don't we hear about them? So I mean, it's just incredible. Dennis, thank you so much. Great call. I got to squeeze one more caller in here. Alan in California. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Thanks for taking my call. There was something that Mancal and Alex were talking about the other day, you know, when Alex was on his show. And Mancal was trying to, you know, recall that there was this satanic ceremony that was done at a, and I know which one he was talking about. It was a Gothard tunnel.
Yeah, the tunnel in Europe. It was the longest tunnel, underground tunnel ever. They did this. Pull up the B-roll of this, guys. You can't even believe it until you see it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No. Go ahead. I was just telling everybody. It was the longest tunnel underground. It is in Europe. And they had this parade type of thing go through it, and it was all like weird satanic imagery and stuff.
Yeah, all of it. And it's just like along the lines of the last caller, they're telling you, I mean, they want us, like the atheists, they want us, like you were saying earlier, they want us to believe that, you know, God doesn't exist, but they're showing you what they believe in. And so, you know, they believe in it strongly enough that they'd have they'd be so brazen and have it out in the open. But that's just something I never, you know, you guys are really good at editing and cutting, you know, videos and the spots in between. And I haven't seen you guys use that footage yet from this tunnel.
No, I know. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of those things that kind of just, you know, slips through the cracks. You don't think much of it. It's kind of just a cultural thing. And I mean, we just had 30 seconds to try to find all the B-roll of the crazy stuff that they were doing. It gets much worse than this. You can find the full thing there. But yeah, it's just shoving it in your face. It's like the Denver International Airport. They just rub it. It's all the symbolism everywhere. It's everywhere. It's right in your face. That's how they get away with it. That does it today. You stay classy, Info Warriors.